America, how are you? Ow! I've done that one before. Hello, America. My name is Jeff Hedley.
I'm Nick Melton.
And welcome to a very technologically experimental edition of the OUP. And it's our second season premiere!
Woo!
We have seasons now.
Arbitrarily.
I literally decided it last week, and now it's become a whole thing that's going to be a recurring thing we do.
I went to your website this morning, and there's a giant banner on it that's like, "The Original Unoriginal Podcast, Season 2.
Like, yes, yes.
Like, the font has to be read that way, because the letters are so big.
Well, I mean, you know what inspired that font and the whole
At the thing. You probably told me, but I forgot.
Oh, it's a Clerks thing.
Mm, not surprised.
Yeah.
You know what I haven't done in a while?
What?
Listen to Smodcast.
I've been listening to Smodcast quite a bit lately. I've been listening to it in the car, in Drive Mother. We should, before we talk about anything else, we should mention that something very interesting is happening right now.
Okay.
We are recording this episode 3 hours apart from each other.
Boom!
Not like in time.
Like in time zone, yeah.
That would be incredibly ridiculous and
awesome.
Willy wobbly timey wimey, but, no, we are in fact, 3 hours away in car distance.
You know what we're gonna do though, right?
What are we going
to
do?
When I go to L.A. in the spring to do my school stuff in L.A., we will record a podcast there, and then we will be 3 hours apart time-wise.
That's
It'll
ridiculous.
It'll be very wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yes, yes.
It'll be excellent.
So, yes. But anyway, the point is, I'm currently stuck in the asshole of America that is my hometown. And, Mr. Nick Melton is in Nick's town.
In my town.
Usual place where he goes. So, yes, I graduated college, and now I'm here, so there'll be a couple of occasional long-distance episodes of our show. There are going to be a couple of short-distance episodes of our show, as in I'll be sitting right next to him, Mr. Melton, as we usually do. And we're actually recording a couple of those in a couple of days.
Woo!
don't hide your emotion, Nick.
That was air escaping from the folds of his fat.
What?
A Futurama.
Oh, I really am not as familiar with that show as I should be.
Yeah, you should be. You know what's really weird, though?
What?
Hearing you talk and just seeing silence on my audio reading over here.
I've been watching it on my side, too. It's very strange. We're recording this with earphones on each of us. So as to save you, the listener, trouble with echoes and other sorts of audio anomalies. But you know what else also fascinates me?
What?
We're using a certain video chatting implement.
Yes.
And I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at me, and it makes me realize how utterly artificial I am on this show. I'm such a character. Like, what you're seeing is not traditional Jeff, or at least maybe it's more traditional Jeff than it would usually be.
Although,
I'm also,
one could ask, you know, if you're just being your character and that's just who you are, is it really a character?
It's entirely possible.
Boom muffins.
Yeah.
I've gotten people to start doing boom, boom, boom muffins without even having seen that episode.
Of Psych.
Of
yes.
Psych, yeah. It's kind of awesome.
It's a catchphrase that's swiffering the nation.
The other thing I've gotten them to do is go, "I love it!"
Yes!
And they haven't seen that either, I don't think.
Checking to see if my fan is running, even at a long distance, it's probably still the villain of our show. Hold on. Oh, that bastard. It's running like normal. I sat it on top of a very open box so that it might breathe, but it's still being its usual deceptive twat self.
I love your fan. No, I don't.
Oh, God.
Hello.
I'm here. We had a moment of... We knew this was going to happen. We had a moment of, like, Nick was, like, really slow, and he was coming in like... and it was very creepy. I'm going to be I'm just trying to move your face away from the time on the screen so I can see how long we've been going. We've been talking for 6 minutes, and we've barely done anything normal.
Right. Well.
Let's start chatting. Mr. Melton... you just started a new vocation.
Did I? Oh, I did, yeah.
Yes, at a very popular bread establishment.
Do you think it would be good to say the name of the bread establishment since it's
established in multiple states? I would not, because I think that one of the points, it's not just because, you know, the state of anonymity that I've, like, you know, kept things like the town, my hometown, Nick's town, the university of choice. The reason why that's been a thing is because, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but let's imagine that you have a really shitty day at work. We can't say that you have or have not at this point already, but the point is this. I know it's you, but don't you feel that management of your place would be more likely to be like, always just Benson if you didn't say their name?
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm protecting your ass, sir.
Ah,
your
right.
Sweet, sweet ass.
Then I'll call it the bread establishment.
The bread establishment. Magic. How have you been your first 2 days working at the bread establishment?
Meh. Yeah. 2 days at the bread establishment.
What have you been doing at the bread establishment?
Well, the first day, I did basically brewing lots of coffee.
People love their coffee.
They do. They love their coffee, and the bread establishment brews, like, giant things of coffee all day round that need to be rebrewed every hour. So I did that a lot. Today, though, was the most tedious of days ever, because I was supposed to do online training.
What?
Normally, I'd be like, hey, cool, I get to sit at a computer all day. But this was not the case, because the program that we were using was one of those things where, like, they hired a woman to, like, say the words that are coming on the screen, like, when you are...
Bagel!
No. Not bangle.
I said bagel, sir.
Oh, like, when you're working the slicer, don't put your hands in the chute. You know, like, things like
oh,
that.
Oh, God!
Right. You know, like...
Why would you do that?
She just reads what's on the screen, but you can't skip what she's saying. You know, like how in programs, like, if you finish reading something before they're done talking, you can just, like, press the mouse and they're done?
Right.
Well, you can't do that in this program. So you have to sit there and listen to her read everything. If I had been able to skip what she was saying, it would have taken me about an hour to do it. You want to guess how long it took me to do it, having to listen
Your
to her
entire
talk?
Shift?
3 hours.
Yeah.
Out of a 5-hour shift. Was spent listening to this woman drone. But yeah, that was today. I'm going back tomorrow. Perhaps tomorrow will be more informative.
Yes, yes. Have I ever told you about the employment training video that I had to watch when I worked at a convenience store in the hometown?
You haven't.
It was delightful. It felt like... I don't know if you were aware of this, but back in, like, 1995, ABC attempted to make a live-action Clerks sitcom without Kevin Smith's involvement. The only thing I remember is that Jim Brewer played Randall. Jim Brewer, he used to be on Saturday Night Live, and he was in Half-Baked, and he constantly looks stoned. He's a delightful fellow. Do you remember on Saturday Night Live a character called Goat Boy?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, he was Goat Boy. Well, anyway, the point is, he was in it, and Carrie Russell, TV's Felicity, was one of their love interests. And there was a Jay, but not a Silent Bob.
That's stupid.
It is.
No wonder it failed.
It failed, and it didn't even make it to air. But I'm just saying, like, when I watched this training video for this convenience store, I felt like I was just watching that. Like, it had this really chintzy 1990s sitcom set. Everything was, like, had, like, orange and red checkerboard patterns all over it. And people would walk out to the counter carrying a 12-pack of beer that just said, BEER! And it was classic.
Chips the best oh thing boy.
Chips oh boy. Like a motherfucker, sir. But yeah, like I tell you, one of the things I remember most about it was there was a scene where, like, this... One of the main points it was trying to get across was not selling beer to an already drunk person.
Okay.
And so this very drunk guy... I think this was shot in the Midwest, because none of them had Southern accents. If it had been shot around here, it would have been rampant Southern accents. Horrible Southern accents. But instead, it was these very Midwestern, like, universal accents. And this guy comes up and he's like, come on, I'm gonna go have a party, man. And the convenience store, and then they're like, stop, employee, what should you do next? And then, like, I'm not doing it justice. I'm not remotely doing it justice.
I wish you had played every character in that video.
I do too.
Because I would love to see you do that Jeff thing you do, where like you would go in front of the screen and go, "Hey, employee, what should you have done next?"
Yeah, it was more like the voice of God. Like it was just like this voice from off camera that the characters respond to on camera. It's like, you know, "Employee, my son, thou shalt not sell the beer." You know, it's very
in a world before time, there was the convenience store voice.
Living in a time that never was.
The toughest gay in the Old West.
Yes, yes, the toughest gay in the
Old
West.
Are we just gonna, that's what reminded me of.
Yeah, are we just going to keep referencing our old episodes? What is this, episode 50?
Oh!
That was a double joke. But anyway, no, what I was thinking of is, we've talked about the Kevin Bishop show before, but there's a sketch that I'm sure I've shown you because Karen Gillan is in it. Where it's a fake movie trailer for a movie version of a popular British comic strip called George and Lynn. The one where she's a blonde.
Do you remember this?
Okay, well, I just remember that the narration was like, you know, a story of one couple living in a time that never was. And I'm just like, what?
I feel about Kevin Bishop. I've explained him to a couple of people. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I was actually just talking about Kevin Bishop this Sunday, actually. We're recording this on Thursday.
We are recording this on Thursday.
So, 4 days ago, I was like, has anybody heard of the Kevin Bishop show? I forget.
Indeed.
Oh, right. I remember why I brought it up. I remembered it. I was bringing it up because I thought that Kevin Bishop, for all his anti-American hoo-ha, doesn't know thing one about America because he named his characters Gary Gary Jr.
Yeah, yeah. Gary Gary Jr. is big. I don't know how that's America, but
it's not. Hear that, Kevin Bishop? It's not. Go with Jimbo. Or, like, Jim Bob.
Or John Boy.
John Boy, yeah.
John Boy and Billy. That's a radio show! Speaking of radio! Zing! Ready for a segue, Nick?
Yes.
Here's a segue. I have a job interview on Monday.
Boom! With where?
With a radio station, or a radio station conglomerate, if you will, in a town near my hometown that I think I'm going to refer to as the city.
Whoa, I think I know the
place
the city.
The place where we saw Patton Oswalt a couple weeks ago.
Boom! I love Patton yes. Oswalt and the city.
Yes, and I have a job interview on Monday where I would be doing essentially what I was doing. I think I already told you about this, where I'd be doing essentially what I was doing at my internship, except I'd be getting paid for it. And people would appreciate me as a human being.
Snap. Victory for
so,
Jeff.
I don't mean to bite the hand that fed, even though it didn't really feed me very well. But my internship was less than stellar. I feel like things were mishandled in that situation. And I think it's after the fact that I'm saying this with the deepest attempt to not make people angry. I've tried to tell people about this, and I'm concerned that people are going to think that I'm like that I expected more out of it than I should have. But no, I think I expected the right amount. I knew there would be like, you know, office work, menial copying, which I'm totally good for. I love busy work. I love getting a job done, no matter what that job be. But the thing is, we'll be taking the boy. Also, the job, what... Are you starting to get into that, by the way? Or is it just keep passing by like, Jeff, why do you keep doing that?
I don't even know what it is.
It's from Lost. We talked about it before. It's a thing, remember? The first season. Anyway. The internship. There we go. Actually, I'm going to interrupt just one more time because I'm suddenly realizing that while the concept of how we're recording is going to make us each sound good, I'm realizing that it's going to be a bit of a bitch to edit.
Yep.
So I'm thinking about the moments where we layer on top of each other.
I'm more concerned with long pauses.
Long pauses, I think, will be easier to deal with. Long pauses are always easy to deal with, but... because once we... maybe this was a mistake.
We'll figure it out. It's an experiment.
Technology!
Oh, wait, I made a face. The listeners can't see it.
Well, I mean, you would have done that if we were sitting right next to each other also.
It's true.
So it's you know.
They wouldn't have been able to see it anyway.
Yeah, it'll be an adventure. A worthwhile adventure. Perhaps I'll have
even
enough...
the greatest adventure.
I don't know what just happened. what I'm saying is perhaps sometime in the near future I'll have a reliable enough internet source that we could do the way this program that we use to record our episodes originally intended us to use our chatting apparatus just as a conduit to our recording, which is a nifty function. But we would have each sounded like two people having like a phone. It would have sounded like a phone call from Rescue 911. Like it would have just. I'm so where's the emergency? Help! My daddy fell down the stairs. It would have just been really.
Would Thomas Lennon come onto the podcast if we did that?
Thomas Lennon, I was of Reno 911.
What did I say?
You said Thomas Lennon. I said Rescue 911.
Oh, you said Rescue 911.
I said
when I meant you. Because clearly
this
we're
is the
same person.
Yes, this is the strangest portion of our conversation yet. You're referring to Tom Lennon of TV's Reno 911, and I'm referring to the Rescue 911 that our dear friend Mr. David Allgood is so obsessed with.
But you know what Rescue 911 has that Reno 911 doesn't have?
What?
William Shatner.
Oh, snap, yes.
William Shatner should be in Reno 911. William Shatner should play Jim Dangle.
Oh. Have you been watching Reno 911 recently? I thought you didn't care for that show.
I don't. I just know the character's name.
Oh. Well, how about that?
Boom. I've been saying
you are
that a
aware,
lot this episode.
I've been saying boom a lot today. I was listening to an episode of Comedy Film Nerds with Graham Elwood earlier today as I was driving around the city, trying to find the best route to my potential new place of employ. And we were listening to Comedy Film Nerds, and my mother was listening. She's driving me. We'd like to go off on mother-son excursions. I don't want it to sound like, oh, he lives with his mother. He does, but he's attempting to not live with his mother. This job is how it all starts. I just got out of college, damn it. Anyway, the point is, we were listening to Graham Elwood, and she became very aware of how much my speech patterns of the last couple of months are pure Elwood. She heard him. I think she heard him say, "The comedian's got a bamboo," and she was like, "Is that why you do that?"
I love your mom.
Yeah. She needs a gay though.
Yeah.
We've said this on a number of occasions. My mother needs a gay. I think everybody needs a gay. But
I concur.
But my mother especially right now.
Even gays need gays.
We had this discussion in off air like yesterday. We were talking about, you as a proud homosexual motherfucker. We're going to stick with that from the toughest gay in the Old West.
then shouldn't you mean I was going to say, aren't you one tough, proud homosexual fella? But that doesn't really make sense.
No, that's not what it was. But anyway, we were talking about how even you as a gay need a gay that you're not like romantically entangled with. Everybody needs
just
a co-gay. Yes.
Yeah. That's basically it. Get a gay friend, everybody.
Yeah, it's true, but I'm just... I can't help but keep commenting on this. I know where this is an experimental edition with the long distance and the crazy editing process, but still, this is easily the most scatterbrained episode of the show we've ever done.
Well, you didn't really come into it with any, topics on hand, kind of.
I knew I wanted to talk to you about your work at the bread establishment.
Well, the bread establishment after 2 days was not going to be that fruitful, I believe.
I don't know. I just expected to hear a story. Oh, Jeff, somebody threw a rye the other day, and,
and it hit this pregnant woman in the face, and
yeah,
she went
just
backwards and slipped on coffee that was on the floor, and she went flying. She knocked down this elderly woman with a walker, and they're just lying there going,
she fell so hard, she gave birth to a child 8 pounds, 5 ounces.
I'm trying to make a good bread pun here, but
the child
maybe
is doing fine.
Maybe because of the trauma that this woman has suffered, the store will pay her enough money to pay for her child's college breadjication.
Wow.
Oh.
I was gonna go for something involving a bun in the oven, but you just went with breadjication. I think you just won, sir. That was the most ridiculous thing I've heard all day. That is German.
Again, that's become face a thing. The listeners can't see.
Yeah, that's become a thing we're kind of obsessed with today.
Avenue Q.
From episode two, yeah, from Avenue Q, but also episode 52 of this show. Last season finale. Remember the months ago when we did that?
You know what that is? That's what? A multiple season plot arc.
Holy shit. It's like,
that is German.
Thank you for saying that, because I almost gave away something about Doctor Who.
Well then,
and there are people on, like I said, there are listeners to our show that haven't seen season 5 yet, and I want them to be able to watch it completely unfettered. I have a question for you, Mr. Melton, as a person who is listening to me through the audio chatting apparatus. Can you hear my air conditioner?
No.
Okay, I worried about that. I'm sure this is fascinating for our listeners, but I wanted to know, because where I'm sitting is probably where I'll be recording the majority of our long-distance episodes, and unless the other half of our house becomes a place that's nice to inhabit. But right now, it's kind of questionable. So there. Boom.
Muffins.
Muffins, indeed. Oh! So I got an email yesterday confirming that I am officially graduated from the University of Choice. I don't know how to...
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
This is what it's going to be like, Nick. Long distance, it's going to be, hey, remember that thing we recorded when we were sitting next to each other?
Yeah, well, I don't remember that at all. It was so long ago.
Yeah.
You know what I saw last night for the first time?
What did you see?
Star Trek Voyager.
Ah, how'd that go?
I hated everybody on it.
Was the pilot, or was it
the pilot
later
in the
episode?
Second episode.
Okay.
All the characters are so unlikable. Captain Janeway is a total bitch.
Well, it was on UPN.
Oh!
I don't know why, like, here's the... I don't mean to go off on another bridge, but this is something I think we were talking about this the other day, me and you. Off camera, or off chat, or off recording apparatus. Just, there's so much technology involved here. I think we were talking about, you know, remember when UPN and the WB were still two things that existed?
I do.
Those were kind of magical days.
Why?
I don't know. There was, you know, this. I think it's more out of comparison with the CW.
Right.
Look at the CW. What are they giving us right now that is worth anybody's attention?
Nothing.
Nothing, really. I mean, I would argue that
the channel Gossip Girl's on.
That is the channel Gossip Girl's on.
I kind of like Gossip Girl. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, you can do that, and then I'll slap you next time I see you. But right now.
I don't like it because I think it's a good show. I just like it because it's something trashy to watch that's not reality TV.
It's the reason why, you know, sophisticated people watch Jersey Shore.
Right.
Are you aware that Jersey Shore? Yeah, are you aware that Jersey Shore has, like, a massive affluent following?
I didn't. Did you know that people watch Jersey Shore in England?
I'm sure. They watch a lot of our stuff.
Oh my god, why are you watching Jersey Shore? It's so bad.
I'm actually kind of horrified by that, to consider that that show is going to be what they think of Americans. So,
yeah.
There's your fuel, Kevin Bishop!
Just watch Jersey Shore, you'll get all the
drink
ammo
it up.
You'll ever need. But anyway, you were saying about affluent followers...
I'm going to finish that as soon as I stop thinking about how adorable Karen Gillan's American accent is. And done. Anyway, affluent viewers of Jersey Shore. It's just like, when you think of like Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers is my example. Head writer of SNL. Very well paid man in the business. He loves his Jersey Shore, you know. And of course, have you ever seen those Weekend Update bits from Saturday Night Live where Bobby Moynihan, the great Bobby Moynihan, I love that man, plays Snooki? Have you seen these?
Yes, I have.
They are hilarious. You look like you disagree.
I disagree with a lot of your opinions of Bobby Moynihan.
You don't care for Bobby Moynihan, do you?
I don't find him funny in anything.
That breaks my heart.
I don't dislike him, per se. It's just I don't find any of his material that funny. But you know,
hey guys, Iran invaded Israel, loosening the U.S.'s lone troop foothold in the Middle East, rendering Hollywood insignificant. Guess Vince ain't doing the movie!
Episode of Entourage.
Yeah, he's Turtle from Entourage. Entourage!
Speaking of a good HBO show.
Yeah. Snap,
what about True Blood?
We've talked about True Blood before, but it's still fantastic. And last week's episode
was
holy
epic.
Shit dicks. Yes. Speaking of the word epic, we're going to have a chat about that in a minute. But first, True Blood. We really can't say much about what happened without spoiling some massive stuff for people who aren't caught up.
Yeah, but there is such a thing as the spoiler bomb.
Do the spoiler bomb. This is a spoiler bomb. It's like then they just spend the rest of their lives estimating how long it took between us talking about it and coming back to the show.
Right.
You know?
Fair enough. We won't do it.
It was just a thing I had, but I'm just going to say that the last like 3 minutes of that episode may have been the greatest moment in the history of that show.
May have been the greatest moment in the history of humans.
It's wasn't human, sir. Vampires.
Yeah, snap. I had a friend of mine who was like, after that episode, Russell Edgington may be my favorite villain from anything ever.
It was pretty fantastic. And as you've seen, I've favorited that video clip on YouTube and watched it countless times.
It's awesome.
It's so amazing. I love, because you're watching that scene, I'm trying to say this without giving anything away, but you're watching that scene, and the camera is just sitting there on that one shot, and you're like, the camera's been sitting there for a long time, and then you see the guy glance off camera, and then all of a sudden, boom! You can see my fist. That still gives nothing away, but you know what I'm saying.
I do.
It was amazing. I'm just like, I kind of was like, something really creepy is about to happen. And then it did, and I was like, oh!
Creepy magic. And or amazing.
It was amazing. And
or may not have been giggling like a schoolgirl the whole time.
Oh, I was. I was. But I'm just saying, give that man an Emmy now.
Yeah.
Right. He's the fuck awesome. Now. I know it's too late to nominate him for the this year's Emmys, but next year, just give him the damn award before. The start of the show. Fuck nominees. Hand in the award. Good night, America.
Boom. Have you seen the cover for the upcoming issue of Rolling Stone?
I have not.
You should see it, because it's going to be awesome.
Is it True Blood related?
It is. It is. Ah. Eric on one side, Bill on the other side, and Sookie in the middle, and they're all naked and covered in blood.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And they're, like, looking at the camera, supposedly, seductively, and this guy wrote this, like, internet comic about it, and it's these two guys looking at the cover, and they're like, man, I think, is this sexy? I mean, they're covered in blood. I mean, they're really attractive people, but, I mean, look at their faces. They look so, like, intense and evil and stuff. I think we know what we felt about this cover, if we knew if we were turned on or not.
I know.
It's kind of funny to me. It's
that
funny
is
to me.
German. Oh, long pauses are going to be a bitch in this new format, aren't they?
They are.
I'll power through it. I'll make it happen. Making it happen. We made it.
Right.
Making it happen. We made it.
You don't tell me what kind of pizza to like.
You were about to say something. Please tell me I didn't knock it out of your head.
The idea was, I mean, I don't know if you have what more topics you might have, but you might want to consider having this not be a super long episode, just so you can experiment with how long the editing will take.
I thought about that. I have thought about that. I probably will. But I did want to talk about something. I mentioned this just then. We were talking about True Blood, and I think I need to talk about it. Nick, I am inches from putting a moratorium on the word epic.
Why?
I feel like we as a generation are starting to overuse it really, really badly.
But I don't use it because other people use it. I use it because I think it's a cool word.
Oh, I'm not talking to you. I mean, you use it, but I'm saying I use it too.
Right.
I'm a self-hating user is what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. I started to have an uneasy feeling about the word epic in that sort of fashion. A couple months ago. One, when the asshole I used to live with used it a little too much. And I mean, even outside the fact that it's become a little too much in our lexicon, he used it a little too much.
Right.
It's like, it's like, I always kind of hate to make this reference, but I'm going to. It's from there's a Dane Cook bit where
the
he's talking
about karate of stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Best way to put that ever. Anyway, there's a Dane Cook bit where he's talking about an ex-girlfriend who used to exaggerate things a little too much, and he said that she's like, I was driving home to work and I saw a fire. There were literally like 1,000 firefighters out there, and he's like, no, there were not. There would be too many firefighters. They'd all be bumping into each other. I'm like, who's on the hoses? Like, and I'm just like, yeah, that's. But you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the person I lived with overused Epic the way that girl would overuse literally or misuse it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like cheapening it because he attached that label to too many things, you know?
Right.
And I just noticed that we're both getting very dim as the lights go out. Anyway,
I thought about turning my light on before I started the episode, but then I decided
it's fine now. I
after
just
we're
like,
done recording, it's only a matter of time before I put on StarCraft 2. So I want it to be dark anyway.
You're all about your StarCraft too. But anyway, back to this point. I got tired of him saying it because I felt like he was misusing it. This is before it became a thing about a universal language problem. I just thought he was personally using it too much. Then the teaser poster for a movie that we both love very, very much, by the name of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, hits the stands. You remember the teaser poster.
Yeah, the tagline being, an epic of epic epicness.
And at the moment I saw that, I kind of came to the realization, I'm kind of done with that word now.
I thought that was a clever tagline.
I'm not so much there anymore. I'm more like, that's like, to me, the teaser poster to Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is the Juno of teaser posters.
Aw, Juno. I was actually going to bring up Juno and say whether you blamed Juno for any of that.
It's Juno is just like everyone's favorite target when it comes to topics like this these days, and I would say for good reason, but no, I'm not going to like outright blame Juno. I'm just going to say that there's something about our generation. I hate our generation, Nick. I think I've discussed this before. I really hate us. We're kind
of
ridiculous.
We're kind of dumb, yeah.
And I don't like that, but anyway, the point is, like, I'm not saying that I'm going to kill the word entirely. I'm just going to say I'm not going to use it as much, if at all. And I'm not going to ask you to change your life, Nick. it was just something that was we went to a really dark, dark place just there.
Not really.
Jeff hates
dark.
Vocabulary. Murr. But
on a show that is all words, because you can't see anything.
It's true. I don't think this show could survive as a video podcast. I really don't. Because for how obscure our like movie references are, our facial expressions are somehow just as obscure.
Right.
How many times can someone...
You want to know what my video podcast would look like?
What?
Just imagine me with a blank stone face staring into the camera going, here's one ball. Now it's two balls. Now it's one again. Okay?
Blam!
And the sad old magician is reloading his suitcase.
And the one-legged man!
I love us.
I can't wait to see how I'm going to edit that part together. We got to be in sync at that moment. We got to be, you know... I don't mean in sync as in, you know...
The band.
I don't know why I had to say that. I didn't have to say that. Why did I just say that, Nick?
I don't know.
That was unfortunate.
This is a really random episode.
It really fucking is. But I guess I've kind of covered everything I wanted to say. Really, in all truth, this was more just an experiment.
An experiment. Technology!
Technology! And I really hope...
You want to explain the grammar? Not the grammar.
Oh, the title?
The title, yeah.
I'm going to explain the title, and then I'm going to explain how our show is going to work for the next couple of months.
Okay.
So our title, yes, as you see, our title of our episode is Technology! With an exclamation point. And also an accent and an umlaut. Because in the conversation that preceded tonight's episode, I explained to Nick the means in which you can alter text in a certain instant messaging software. He wasn't aware that you could just use Microsoft Word-style codes to make things happen, like umlauts and accents. And boom. Technology! With the accent in that.
And, of course, umlaut. Technology being the fact that we're doing it long distance.
Yes, yes. I'll go ahead and tell you that I was originally going to call this episode Going the Distance, and then that horrible Drew Barrymore Justin Long romantic comedy stole it from me.
You know what? I was at the theater seeing Scott Pilgrim, and I saw the trailer for that movie, and I was like, that actually looks better than I thought it had any right to look before.
It does, but at the same time, you know why I'm like, fuck that movie.
Right. Perhaps you don't explain it to people who don't know.
Nothing. The movie or my feelings?
The reason why you don't want to see the movie.
Okay, here's the thing. As I've mentioned last season. That's crazy.
Season one.
In season one, I had just recently come out of a relationship with the one that you've referred to in previous episodes as the girl that got away. She cheated on me 3 weeks into the relationship. And of course, she lived in the hometown and I lived in the town. 3 hours away from each other, basically. And, you know, when I was going into that relationship with her, everyone kept saying, you know, long-distance relationships, because that's the long-distance relationships are one of those things, and it's like a bad sitcom. That's the thing, it's one of those things that everybody wants to give you their opinion on it. If you even broach the concept of a long-distance relationship to a group of people, you're going to get a bunch of people busting out their alleged expertise. More often than not, it's horseshit. But here's the thing. I want to say this. Long-distance relationships, I don't mean to be an expert myself or pretend to be, but here's my feeling. It's not that long-distance relationships are bad. It's that some people are just sluts. It's true. I mean, I'm just like, you can't blame an entire concept on the fact that some people just can't be trusted to be on their own. Some people, you know, you can't. Some people are just that, you know, morally backward that they would cheat on someone 3 weeks into a relationship. You know, did you really mean for that to get that real, Nick? Because it got kind of real.
However, but I was thinking, you know what a great idea for a sitcom would be?
Okay, what would be?
Long distance relationship is the idea. There's like, okay, a woman who lives in California and a guy who lives in New York. And it's like two sitcoms in one. There's the girl and her circle of friends and the guy and his circle of friends. And they get into different sitcom shenanigans. But at the end of the day, they like have video chats and like, oh, I miss you, remember. And then they have occasional like episodes where they're in the same like place at the same time.
You know what's disturbing about that?
What?
That sounds amazing.
I know, right?
I would watch that show, and it sounds like... The only problem is that could easily be another horrible Friends clone, which, by the way, have you seen the previews for a lot of this fall's sitcoms?
No.
There is a ridiculous glut of Friends clones.
Well, this would not be Friends clones. This would be... Oh, I know, thinking, but
you're like, thinking of something...
Like How I Met Your Mother, kind of.
I wasn't even going to say How I Met Your Mother. I think it would be better suited to be a non-laugh track sitcom. Or right. Non-studio audience sitcom. Like an Office or a 30 Rock.
Boom, the better ones.
But exactly. But what I'm saying is this. Like, regardless of what I'm just saying, there are a shit ton. That is a traditional form of measurement. There are a shit ton of Friends clones on this fall's television slate. And there's no explanation for it because... What is this, 10 years ago? I mean, like, we are beyond the zenith of Friends popularity.
I never thought Friends was that good to begin with.
I didn't really either. I watched the first few seasons because it amused me, kind of. But then again, I was like 6 to 8 years old. So I
watch Friends with friends. I mean,
yeah.
Otherwise, I've seen no reason to watch it.
But anyway, there are a lot of them. And it's unfortunate because a lot of them have a lot of people that I love in them. Like Olivia Munn. You know Olivia Munn.
I do.
Right? Okay. You scared me for a second. I'm just realizing you cannot see my face at all.
I was just about to say, I can't see your face.
You're I look so like the banker from Deal or No Deal or something.
An
like,
ominous presence in the background.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn on a light. Actually, I don't know if I had time or reach. Hold on. We're going to see if I can do this.
Eh. These sounds all sound delightful on the air, I'm sure. Oh, snap.
Now you can just see my silhouette.
No, now I can see you. You just have an unearthly glow about you.
Don't I always? Anyway, I wish they could have that picture, because that was classy. But anyway, I think we need to wrap this up. But the point is this. A lot of my favorite people are in shitty Friends clones this season.
Mm, yeah.
It breaks my heart.
Looks good?
You know, that's something we can talk about. New fall TV season, there are a couple of things that look good. I actually, on Twitter the other day, listed off like my shows that I have the most hope in by network. Or the shows that I'm most interested in seeing by network, as it were.
Right.
As I recall, they were this. NBC, I got, God help me, but I'm like kind of morbidly intrigued by the Paul Reiser show. Even though it's just PG-rated Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm still very intrigued. Also because Andrew Daly is in it. We know, and we all enjoy some Andrew Daly. So I'm intrigued by that. What was the other show that they have that I'm intrigued by? I did put down the show that Olivia Munn's going to be on. This was it called Perfect Couples. As much as it looks awful, I love her, and I want to support her budding acting career.
Right.
ABC, there's a show called Mr. Sunshine, from the creators of Scrubs and Cougar Town. Oddly
so
enough,
Bill
starring Bill Lawrence, yes indeed. Also starring Matthew Perry.
Where's he been, like, the past decade?
He was in 17 again.
Meh.
And he was in the whole So Many Yards movies.
How
Which
many
are actually
did they get up to?
Just to 10, 9 and 10. But that movie, I love those movies, actually. Have you ever seen them?
I've seen the whole 9 yards.
Those movies are fantastic. But anyway, no, he was in 17 again, which, as I've said before, strange as it's going to be, I think that movie's actually fantastic. But Thomas Lennon almost single-handedly makes that picture worth watching.
17 again?
17 again, yeah.
And I also just like Zac Efron.
Yeah, as we talked about before, Zac Efron is kind of okay in our book. But, yeah. But anyway, yeah, there's... what was I talking about? Shit. Olivia Munn. Oh, ABC. Mr. Sunshine. There's No Ordinary Family.
Is that like
which
Modern
is a,
Family?
No, it's a show about a family that goes on a trip to the Amazon. They crash into this like pool of water that's like got chemicals in it, and they come home and have superpowers.
What?
Don't look at me like that. Watch the trailer. Watch the trailer.
Okay. It sounds lame. Is the mom played by Katie Seagal?
The mom? No. Sadly, no. She's on that FX show Sons of Anarchy. So that's what she's doing. The parents in the family are played by Michael Chiklis, who I love. I do love Michael Chiklis because I grew up watching The Commish.
I went to Barnes & Noble the other day and saw a book written by Stephen J. Cannell and thought of you.
Oh yeah, I saw one as well. I didn't know he wrote
the
books.
Same book, yeah.
Yeah, but it was probably the same Barnes & Noble for all I know. But it's probably just sitting there all that time. But
yeah.
But Michael Chiklis and the wife, the mother, is played by Julie Benz. Do you know who that is?
I do.
She was
she's
on Darla,
Dexter,
on,
and Darla
on Buffy.
On,
she's on
Buffy and Angel, yeah.
And Angel, yeah.
I love Julie Benz.
Julie Benz and Romany Malco is in it. He played. He was the. He was the black dude in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Nah.
Putting the pussy on the pedestal, that guy. But, yeah, he's in it as, you know, Michael Chiklis' best friend. But there's that. Oh, I forgot another NBC show that looks amazing. The Cape. Have I talked about The Cape?
No.
It's another superhero show. But the reason why I'm excited about this one is that, for once, he has a costume.
There have not been a cape.
There's a cape. I'm just saying there are not enough costume superheroes in primetime television. There's too many, you know, I'm a superhero, but I dress in regular clothes. See, Heroes, No Ordinary Family, and until recent season, Smallville.
Right.
But this show, like, it's a completely original character. This guy, he's a cop, and, like, he's wrongfully accused of being a serial killer, and they think he died, but then, like, he's hiding out from the mobsters, and he ends up at a circus... Where television legend Keith David, you know Keith David, right?
I do.
He's got a delightful voice.
He does.
Keith David, like, has this kind of magical cape that, like, gives him powers, and it's odd enough, oddly enough, there's a, in their universe, there is a comic book superhero called the Cape. And so the father, the guy, the cop who's allegedly dead, takes on the mantle of the Cape, and his son, who loves the Cape comics. Actually, the more I talk about it, the lamer it sounds, but at the same time, I really want to watch it. Watch the trailer. This is another one of those things. Watch the trailer, don't let me sell it, because I'm not going to sell it right. The other thing on ABC that... What?
I said all right.
Our first what all right of the show. But anyway, what was the other thing on ABC? It was Mr. Sunshine and... God, I've forgotten it. I've forgotten what the other thing was. It's CBS. Right. The two things on CBS that I'm intrigued by are Hawaii Five-O, because...
That's not new.
I know, but I'm a sucker for a remake sometimes, most of the time. I'm terrible. But the point is, I'm a sucker for a remake. Also because it's got an interesting cast, because it's got, you know, some dude that I've never heard of, and then Scott Kahn as Dano, as in Bookham Dano, and Grace Park from Television's BSG.
I know
and,
who she is.
And Daniel Day Kim from Lost.
You know what's awesome? You reminded
what?
Me.
What?
I was talking, I mentioned briefly, StarCraft 2.
You did.
Do you know who's doing the voice of Sarah Kerrigan, the primary villain in StarCraft 2?
Trisha Helfer?
Yes.
That was just a guess, but awesome. Okay.
It's Trisha Helfer. I was like, yes, number 6.
Yes.
And every time she talks, I hear a little bit of that number 6 menace in her voice, and it's
epically
awesome.
The way she says Gaius makes me tingle. but anyway... Fox doesn't really have anything that good because it's Fox.
They never do, yeah.
But I'm intrigued enough to watch the pilot of the show with Will Arnett and Kerry Russell, Running Wild.
Will Arnett's worth watching.
He's worth watching at least once to see how terrible it's going to be, because it's probably going to be terrible. I'm not going to dispute that. There's another animated series they're about to put on Fox called Bob's Burgers.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible, and it looks kind of terrible, but it's animated by a lot of the same people who did a lot of shows I love on Adult Swim, and the voice cast is fucking insane, including lead voice actor H. John Benjamin.
I was just going to ask, is H. John Benjamin in it? Yes!
So I'm like, I kind of have to watch this. And also, Eugene Merman is in it as well. But you don't know who Eugene Merman is, do you?
No.
That is a shame. After all the comedy tutelage I've given you, you just don't know who Eugene Merman is. I need to change that. But Bob's Burgers, I gave up on
the curry.
I gave up on the good guys pretty quickly. You remember how excited I was about the good guys?
I was.
Yeah, I gave up on that after the pilot. I was like, you know what? We had some fun, but we're done now. Like, it was fun enough. But they kind of also lost me by having Nia Vardalos in their pilot.
Why?
I'm like... Because she exists.
How does she still get work?
Well, because I think it's her connection to the Hanks family.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't care for Nia Vardalos. I think we've established this before.
I don't think anybody does.
I think she's utterly untalented, and the success of My Big Fat Greek Wedding was an absolute fluke.
Kind of like Halle Berry winning the Oscar.
Oh, snap. You ain't kidding.
By the way, I saw Catwoman for the first time the other night.
You son of a bitch! I wanted to watch it with you. How was it?
Terrible.
But fun, right?
After a while, not even fun anymore. It was like...
Really?
So bad. At the beginning, I'm like, ha, 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 this is so bad. By the end of it, I'm like clawing my face off.
Like Catwoman.
Like Catwoman. It wasn't even the Catwoman from Batman, just a stupid made-up Catwoman.
That was part of the reason why I didn't want any part to do with that movie, is because it was originally supposed to be Selena Kyle. It was originally supposed to be that Selena Kyle just goes to another city, because it was actually based on, like, there is a Catwoman comic book, or at least there was for a very long time, where she was a crime fighter in her own right. She was kind of a, as we say in wrestling terms, she was kind of a heelish face.
Right.
You know? She was, she did good
kind
things,
like Randy
but in
Orton.
Some... Like Randy Orton, yeah. I'm so glad you went there. But anyway, yeah, so that was what it was originally going to be, and then they did what they did with it, which was terrible. Although I heard, and I don't know if you can tell me after having watched it, there was allegation that Benjamin Bratt's character was allegedly somehow supposed to be Bruce Wayne undercover. Is that true?
No.
Did you get that implication at all? Okay, good.
Not at all.
I'm glad. Good, good. Also, I just can't see Benjamin Bratt as Bruce Wayne anyway.
I can't see Benjamin Bratt as anything.
Really?
I don't like Benjamin Bratt.
I appreciated him on Law & Order well enough. But yeah, as a film actor, he's kind of made some pretty terrible movies. Yeah, he doesn't have a good track record in films. Catwoman, Miss Congeniality 1 and 2. He's got a pretty terrible track record. But what were we talking about? Oh yeah, fall TV shows. I'm done talking.
Yeah.
CW's got Nikita. I'm vaguely intrigued. Let's move on. Remember when we almost started talking about WB and UPN earlier in the episode?
I do. Let's not do it now.
What a strange episode this has been. But anyway, I think it's time to wrap it up, and I'm going to say what I was going to say. Listeners, Nick, you can join in and react to what I'm saying if you so choose.
Okay.
Here's the situation at hand, listeners. As we've mentioned, clearly, because we're doing this long-distance episode that may or may not sound very well edited. That's completely up to how it goes tonight. The plan is we're going to do probably one, unless this is a terrible episode, we're going to do one long-distance episode and then about three close-distance episodes. That's about the plan. That's about the way it's going to be for the next couple of months. I'll be joining Mr. Nick Melton in Nickstown about every 3 weeks to record a series of podcasts, episodes of my show, and of course Cinemantics, which, Nick, I don't know what's going on with that, but...
I've just been really lazy. That's what it boils down to. I've decided I'm going to actually do it this time instead of just say it. Batman and Robin will be coming out on Sunday.
Awesome.
Because that'll leave me another week to come out with another episode and thus fulfill my bi-monthly thing.
Yeah.
It'll still be two episodes a month, just they'll be at the back of the month rather than evenly spaced out.
Right. This is weird for me to request this on the air, but I'll do it anyway. Let's try to space them out so that your movies come out on my weeks of conversation.
Okay.
So that every week our listeners of both of our shows can have a movie to listen to.
Exactly.
Like my dear cousin Gail McKernison, who is like our most vocal fan, as we mentioned in episode 50.
Exactly.
So yes. Sister of Stephanie C. Kernison, host of Media Monkeys and Junkie Junkies.
Eventually, we're going to start saying it so fast to try and beat the other person to it, it won't even be words anymore.
Yeah, it won't even be promotions.
Yeah.
We'll just have to put a sticker on it. What? But anyway, that's the plan. It's going to be... We're going to try to keep this show running at the same, you know, speed and pace as it's been running before. There just might be a couple of these long-distance episodes. We may not do it this way next time. We may give it a shot and try it the way it wanted me to with... using the actual chatting apparatus to record the conversation. And if that works out better, then we'll do it that way next time. But for this time, we just wanted to see what it would sound like because we wanted to see if recording it separately on our own softwares would make us each sound in good sound quality. But who's to say what the editing process is going to be like?
We'll see.
So how about that, Nick?
Don't go down that
long distance episode. That's a dangerous rod. Don't go down that road. So that was our first long-distance episode, Nick.
Yes, it was.
It was a strange one.
But I'm feeling pretty good about it, nonetheless.
I'm feeling pretty good about it, too. I got to tell you. I just, you know, I'm hoping that our topics won't be as scatterbrained as they were here in future long-distance. We were just getting a feel for it, putting our hands on it, oiling it up, making it feel sexy.
Yeah.
And... I don't even know what that was. You're rolling your eyes now. You're just like, Jeff, no, shut up. I'm trying to be in my
eyes are closed.
Yeah. You're not.
So they are not rolling.
Okay. But anyway, I guess that about wraps her up, Nick. You feel good?
I do feel good.
I'll see you in a couple of days in person.
Woo!
That is German.
Made a face.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the OUP for this week. I'm Jeff Hederle.
I'm Nick Melton.
Go experience 7 days and 3 hours of distance. Good night! All right, cut.
Yeah, we're done with that.